leftover salmon may not have created bluegrass, but the group can be credited with taking the sound to places that made it feel contemporary and, well, downright cool. Now in its fourth decade as a band, Leftover Salmon are direct descendants of groups like Little Feet, The Dead, The Band, also Hot Rise and Newgrass Revival, Sam Bush's outfit, which performed at the nascent Telluride Bluegrass Festival in 1975. Having dipped deeply into the well of rock and roll, folk, bluegrass, Cajun, soul, zydeco, jazz and blues, Salmon is well established as central to the Americana genre, continuing to play music that reflects sounds that emanate from the Appalachian Hills, the streets of New Orleans, the clubs of Chicago, the plains of Texas, and the mountains of Colorado. Salmon returns to Telluride Bluegrass after a one-year hiccup. Vince Herman is here to talk about Salmon's history, help celebrate Drew Emmett, who celebrates his 25th in town, and more. This is Susan Deeprock, Telluride Inside Now. Delighted to be speaking with Vince once again. Leftover Salmon is scheduled for the main stage on Friday, June 16th. Hey, Vince, thanks for making time for me.
Oh, I love it. I'm so excited to be going back to Telluride.
Yeah, we look forward to having you back. Didn't feel like home without you guys coming at least once a year. So please take us back to your early days. Did you grow up in a family of musicians? I understand you began playing guitar as a child, and by ninth grade, you knew what you wanted to do with your life.
Yeah, you know, I guess I seem to have just always been playing. My brother made me a plywood guitar with rubber bands on it, and I used to entertain my mother's card club with that device. So I guess I had a natural feel for it. I don't know. But I started taking lessons in like third grade and started teaching lessons in eighth. And that thing that happened in ninth grade or eighth grade, probably, I saw probably 30 people standing underneath this tree playing old timey music. And it kind of dawned on me that maybe they didn't actually know each other, but they shared this common repertoire of tunes. And the whole world kind of lit up for me. And I realized I could travel and go to places and play tunes with people who knew the same thing. And then, you know, the world opens up to you socially, and I really wanted to travel. And, I guess I'm living my dream. I've been playing and traveling for years now.
Take us back to Leftover Salmon's beginnings to 1985. How and when did you and Drew Emma come together? How would you sum up your chemistry?
Well, I moved from West Virginia to Colorado in 1985, and literally the first thing we did in Colorado was we pulled in front of this club in Boulder when we got to town. You know, went to the first mountain to the left and stopped, which is Boulder, and wandered into this club that said Bluegrass Tonight, and it was the Left Hand String Band with Drew and Glenn Keith and Eric Hawley. It was a great, and Keely Bruner, I believe, you know. And, you know, my fate was sealed, you know. Probably a year later, I joined the Left Hand String Band for about a year or so, and then started a band called the Salmon Heads. And that combined with the Left Hand String Band on New Year's of 1990. And that's how it all started. It was supposed to be one gig. Or we would have thought of a better name, you know. But it's been great. Drew and I have had a great camaraderie all these years, getting to do what we love to do, which is play tunes that are kind of rooted but kind of rock and roll, you know.
Yep. I bet you couldn't even remember the number of gigs you've actually done instead of the one.
Oh, absolutely not. That was... Yeah.
Okay.
It's in the thousands.
In the thousands, I'm sure. Sure. So Salmon is credited with starting this jamgrass movement. Talk about what jamgrass is all about and how you picked up the thread dropped by the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band and ran with it.
Yeah, you know, the idea of starting jam bands or anything doesn't really ring very true to me. And everything's, you know, such a great long line before it that leads up to something, and we're just kind of part of that chain. Although, you know, perhaps for a new generation of people who were being introduced to bluegrassy stuff that we kind of served as the door to, then, you know, maybe that's something that we were lucky enough to have a part of. But yeah, the chain is real long as far as what rock and roll bluegrass is, you know, and jamgrass. Okay. And then there are some cultural elements that are shared, like a love of festivals and the Grateful Dead and the Allman Brothers and all that kind of stuff. It all kind of gets wrapped up in Americana and roots music, though. So, you know.
Yeah. Okay. For the uninitiated, what exactly is bluegrass, and how has the genre evolved, with Leftover Simon obviously playing a key role in that evolution?
Bluegrass is a commercial form of old-time music created for radio use in the 40s by Bill Monroe, that played old-timey music up a little faster and singing a little higher, and was meant specifically for radio and selling biscuits in the morning to farmers, that kind of stuff, you know, and it's really evolved from that into a whole culture and one of the greatest American exports there are.
Terrific. Thank you. The film, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, which came out in 2000, was meant to be a seminal moment in bluegrass history, or yet another seminal moment in bluegrass history. Bluegrass was then meant to go viral. That did not quite happen. So how do you explain the long legs of the genre?
Well, I guess, you know, the fact that there is no app that you can download called TikTok to replace TikTok yet, you know,
right.
We're going to have to live with its subcultural kind of status. You know, bluegrass music, as John Hartford said, you know, if this kind of music was any more popular, we'd have to play it for people we don't even know. Yeah. So, I mean, bluegrass music can exist on your porch. You know, it can exist without a crowd. You know, the fact that there are people who listen to it is just a bonus. You know?
Yeah.
And you know, Telluride has figured out how to get a lot of people onto the train and do that. So congratulations to Telluride for bringing bluegrass music to so many people.
I'm sure Craig would really like to hear that. But isn't it defined somewhat by the instrumental mix?
Defined somewhat by what?
The instrumental mix.
Oh,
the particular,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that so, type of music that Bill Monroe created had a mandolin, it had bass, it had guitar, it had, the first band even had accordion and fiddle, of course. But yeah, it's a, it's that acoustic instrument mix and you know, the way they played it around one mic back in the day and all that stuff. Technologically, it's a different kind of music than many other American forms, for sure. It's about the instruments and the combination and the roles they play.
Okay, thank
it's
you.
A little bit different than other stuff.
Okay, so now would you please talk a little bit about Leftover Salmon that you and Drew founded? We know your band introduced rock elements to bluegrass. What else? In other words, how would you sum up Leftover Salmon's magic and staying power?
Well, Leftover Salmon started by accident when a couple guys couldn't make a gig. And it's lasted these in our 33rd year now, which just stuns us. But, you know, we stepped deep into that Americana well from Cajun and bluegrass and Zydeco. And, you know, we used to play some Tex-Mex, and, you know, I grew up listening to polkas, you know. So, and we allow all that stuff into our music. And you know, it's suitable for all ages and families and crazy people and rowdies and
yep.
Listeners and all that stuff. So we feel like we're really lucky to be able to go up and do that in front of people, and people still listen to us after all these years. It's amazing.
Do you have any sense of what your particular secret sauce is? So,
having a good time, you know, not taking what we do seriously, but not taking ourselves seriously, I guess. You know, it allows a certain amount of fun into the mix, I guess.
I love that. That line was good enough to become a banner. Thank you for that.
All right.
Talk about your newest release, Grassroots, which is meant to be the offspring of your 2021 brand new Old Eight. Along with Adele and Nod, the record apparently sees you all interpreting songs by the Dead, Bromberg, Seldom Seen, and more. So let's dig a little bit into Grassroots.
Yeah, you know, we realize that for some folks, you know, we're the first time they're hearing this kind of stuff, and we really wanted to point to, you know, what we listen to end up sounding like this as a band. You know, it's David Bromberg and Bob Dylan and the Delmar Brothers and you know, the Link Wray, you know, a song done by the Neville Brothers, you know, all that stuff that we love to listen to, that we kind of, you know, formed the band around those kind of things in our ears, and we wanted to just kind of throw some thanks and have folks put their ears on some of this stuff and maybe follow through and mm-hmm. You know, check out the Delmar Brothers or something like that as a result of listening to this.
What do you personally like most about your latest release?
Getting to play with Billy Strings and Oliver Wood and Daryl Anger, it was a real treat. We made it here in Nashville at Compass Studios, which is a great historic studio. It's where kind of outlaw country kind of sprung up, and it's just great to be making a record in Nashville with friends here in town and digging into, you know, the root stuff. It's been a fun experience, and I'm glad it's finally getting out there now.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll hear some of that at Bluegrass. So what does Telluride Bluegrass mean to you and Salmon, and what should Festivarians expect from this year's set? I mean, after all, it's the 50th anniversary of Bluegrass, Telluride Bluegrass. So.
Well, it's Drew's 25th anniversary, and as far as I know, I think that means he gets a pony.
Yeah, I think so. I've seen that done before.
Yeah.
John Cowan.
So I'd expect Drew to be riding up on stage on a pony this year.
I'll pass that along.
That's how much it means. I mean, we kind of started playing in the campground, you know, in 85 or so. In 1989, we met Mark Vann, the banjo player, in the campgrounds. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of, you know, the start of the band drifting into Coalition. Yeah. So it Telluride is the core for us, man. It's the best festival ever. The family and friends we formed in those campgrounds have lasted a whole lot of years, and it's always a treat to return to it. Anahuac!
Hi? Sorry?
I just said Anahuac.
Oh, okay.
Who perhaps know the campground scenario, that word is kind of meaning.
That went a bit over my head, but there will be a lot of people who will hit the bullseye of that. So
okay.
What are you going to bring to the 50th anniversary? What should Festivarians expect from Leftover Salmon this year?
Man, you know, I'm feeling really good about Sam and I with Jay Starling in the band now, John Starling's son from the Seldom Scene, you know. I'm really enjoying this version of the band as well as any, and I think it heard somebody say the other night, peak salmon, man. And it really feels like it. We're really firing on all engines, and we're really psyched to tell you right here what we've been up to.
All right. With that, I'm going to say adios, but this has been Susan D. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out. Delighted to have been talking with Vince Herman again. Leftover Salmon set is Friday, June 16th. Thanks very much, Vince. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Bye. Bye. Bye.